Good evening. Welcome to Maquonago Baptist Church. You can take your blue hymn books and turn to hymn 367. Hymn 367. Last time I led singing on a Wednesday, the smoke alarm went off and we all got disrupted and all that weird stuff. So hopefully that won't happen tonight. Hymn 367 in the blue hymn book. Let's stand together as we sing. Hymn 367, and as you sing that, make that your prayer tonight as the Word of God is preached, that you came expecting God to do something in your heart, not having your hands up to heaven, and instead having an open heart to do what God wants you to do in your life tonight. On that second stanza,
would you have Him make you free and follow at His call?
You're here. Important service of the week, prayer night. So we're glad that you're here, and may God work in our hearts and answer prayer. Amen. You know what? If you believe that God answered prayer, and God answered the prayers of a church, then why wouldn't everybody want to be there? You know what I mean? That's what it's all about. Real prayer and real answers. Well, it's great to have our missionary with us. Can you believe that? Okay. Why don't you lead us in prayer?
Okay. Lord, thank you for the wonderful day you're giving us and for this great privilege to be here tonight. And Lord, as we gather here, we just come before you, Lord, and commit this whole service to you. We pray that you would just bring our attention completely to you and off the busyness of life and other things going on. And may we hear from you, Lord. We pray that you'd really minister to our hearts through the singing and the offering time, the preaching, the prayer time. Lord, we ask that you would bless in a mighty way. And we thank you, God, that you're a God that is not afar off and that you love to show yourself personal and mighty in and through our lives. We pray for your blessing, Lord, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay. Tonight is prayer night. If you don't have a prayer bulletin, raise your hand and an usher will give you one. And in the meantime, we'll have missionary updates.
Vicky continues to be faithful to the Sunday Bible study. Pray for Vicky. She writes a verse of the week on her calendar at work, and her workmates usually ask her about it. She said there are several that would be interested in a Bible study group if they had courage to try it. Please pray for them. Katie and Andrew, our children, are doing well at preschool. Andrew has been speaking more on Hungarian on his own, which is a good sign. They each made a craft this week to give to someone and invite them to our Bible study. Please continue to pray for Sarah as she works with Andrew, especially on his finger movement and on his finger movement skills. It takes a lot of effort. We will be putting out another Facebook ad for our English program this week. Please pray that God will give us the right families to connect with and minister to through this. As always, thank you for praying. The Frews in Hungary. This next one is from Michael Garamy. An update on our studio. God closed the door for church planting at this time, but he opened a new door. Even though the fund for the studio has been coming slowly lately and we didn't have enough funds for the third phase, which made me wonder what the Lord was doing, yet Christian Media International supplied all the equipment and sent missionary Gene Sharp to set up our studio. Brother Sharp worked 3 weeks, long hours of work daily, sometimes even worked till 4 a.m., and just completed the studio last Wednesday. He did an excellent job as he had to custom every piece of equipment and wiring. The studio looked so beautiful and professional, and what Brother Sharp did exceeded my expectations. Thank you to everyone and all my supporting churches for supporting our studio financially, and a big thank you to Christian Media International and missionary Gene Sharp for setting up the studio for us. Pray that the Lord would use the studio in a mighty way, that the word of the Lord would be published from that studio, and many souls would get saved. In addition, I will soon start recording gospel messages for my media ministry that will be aired through satellite TV and radio in Iran, Afghanistan, and other countries.
I have been translating Bible college curriculums from English and Farsi, and I will be recording hundreds of lessons and adding them to our online Persian Bible college. I will also upload messages on my YouTube channel to reach Persians that are scattered in the West. Seems like Brother Jeremy is very busy. And please also lastly pray for strength for Emily, my wife, and her last few months of pregnancy and wisdom as we raise our three children, all under 3 years old. They are a handful, but it is a joyous sacrifice and pour of time and energy into them so they can learn and grow. It is wonderful to see the fruits of our efforts. From Michael Guillermo. And just a couple quick prayer requests on the bottom. Pray for a possible opportunity to plant a Persian church area, as well as what we just mentioned. Pray for the studio that the Lord would use the word of God to go forth in many souls.
Okay. All right. Good to hear those updates. Now we're going to do something different. Pay attention here. We have this big list of missionaries, but I'm afraid they haven't. We need to be praying more for them. Okay? So we're going to go through part of the list. And we need, we don't want to waste a bunch of time, but I'm going to ask for a raise of hands, at least five hands, to pray for that missionary, okay? And we have the Allens in Hungary, five hands that will pray for them tonight. Okay, good, we can use 20. All right, how about Jenna Apple in South Africa? Okay, good. The Bloyds in Italy. All right, good. The Betrells in church planting in Louisville. All right, good. And the Jesse Bucher, the Buchers in Asturias, Spain. All right. And one last one. The Fiokis in Albania. All right. We're going to keep doing it every Wednesday night to make sure that these missionaries get prayed for.
Maybe we could have a quiz over some of the requests.
And maybe if you raise your hand, make sure you look at the prayer bulletin so you know what to pray for.
Okay, take your blue hymn books again and turn to hymn 228. 228, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place. Hopefully your faith has found a resting place in Jesus Christ and his finished work tonight. Hymn 228.
Also be praying for Kids Club on Friday night. There's just a few nights of Kids Club nights left before summer break. So let's earnestly pray that God would work in a mighty way this Friday night and, of course, in the following weeks. But this Friday night at 6 o'clock, Kids Club, be in prayer for that. On Saturday, 10:30 in the morning, we'll have an outreach time if you're able to join us. We'd love to have you come on out for that. I just wanted to mention that our father-son canoe adventure that we had on the calendar for the 27th. We're going to go to the alternate day of May 11th for just a few reasons. We've decided just to go ahead with that date, and I think it'll be an exciting time. So fathers and sons, encourage you to be planning and preparing to come for that. We do have a few canoes here at the church, but so everybody that comes is responsible for their own items, but we do have some canoes here that are welcome to get used. So I'll try to give some more details as we get closer to that time, but I just wanted to get that word out there so you can start planning and preparing for that. But I think it's going to be a really great time. I think we're going to be canoeing part of the Mequonago River and maybe into the Phantom Lake. We're still nailing that down exactly, but we'll have some short time after the canoe as well to get together, maybe at a park, and some food and things like that. We're still nailing down some of those details, but I think that will be an exciting time the afternoon of May 11th, Saturday, May 11th.
All right, good. That will be a great outreach opportunity to reach out into a family. Remember praying for five new families with children that want to raise their children for God. And that's a big prayer request. And you could be a vessel of the Lord in helping that. Obviously, we will have a short time of preaching at the park afterwards. We always have a Bible. When we have an activity, we always have Bible so people can hear the gospel. And so we'll be looking forward to that. That will be a great opportunity. Okay, and we're going to have some prayer requests tonight. Who will be first? Yes.
Found so that our family can be a little bit of peace with his missing. So I'd appreciate prayer for that.
Okay. What's his first name?
Ryan.
Okay. Be praying for him. All right. Who's next? All right. Sue.
Thank you for those who prayed for our friend Mark. Praise the Lord. He came out of that seemingly okay so far. He came out of sedation and took him off the respirator or ventilator or whatever. Today, for those that don't know, he had his heart stopped in the beginning of surgery. So if you could pray for, they were trying to remove some more lymph nodes that had melanoma. So they still have to figure out what to do. You know, I don't know how that's going to work out, but pray for next steps for him. But thanks for those that prayed.
Okay. Okay, remember to be praying for the high school Bible studies. And this week, Micah's has a meeting to set up a Bible study at middle school in East Troy. So be praying about that. And, of course, tomorrow is Bible study at Parkview Junior High, and Friday at Maquonago High. So be praying for these Bible studies. Okay, Jim.
Thank the Lord that he gave me an opportunity to water seed a couple of men that I've met before. One man, his name is Alan, and he kind of knows the language of Zion, the biblical lingo. I don't believe he's saved. He's kind of against organized religion and churches. And so thankfully I was able to share a lot of Bible verses with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that that was it, kind of speaking to his heart. Name is Alan. Basically, at the same time, a man named Ken. And Ken, I've met before, a different situation. He harbors a lot of personal bitterness, envy. He, very open about that, shared Bible verses about that. And they both responded very well to just sharing Bible verses. And I said, hey, I'm not preaching at you. No, please go ahead and, give me more Bible verses. And
amen.
Ken said he apologized for some of his choice words he used with me the last time we met.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Okay, who's next? Yes, Jason.
If you would continue to pray for my brother and just continued growth there, and then if you would pray for also for his boss, who's had some challenges with his health over the course of the last couple decades, but they've kind of reared their head again. So pray for Rick, and that's it.
Okay. All right, Leah.
Someday Brian and Linda joined us here. They're from Waterford. But a month or two ago or so, they joined us at the flagpole and prayed with us, and we told them where we were from. And so they joined, and she's texted with me this week, and it sounds like they'll be back again. So pray for them.
All right. reminded just to pray for Sunday services, pray for the Holy Spirit to be present and empowering the message. That is a very important that we pray much for Sunday preaching. Yes.
Thank you to all those that prayed for the East Troy Bible study. We ended up with five there today. Just
Amen.
Pray for the Lord just to really give them, each student, a hunger for the Word of God and just for more students to come out and that we would see some souls saved there before the end of the year.
Okay. Keep praying for that. Good start. A lot of young people in East Troy need to be saved. Okay. Wyatt.
Pray for a nursery customer today that we got a, especially Tyler, had a good chance to talk to, that their church was going through some troubles, and I guess the pastor's leaving, and they're having a meeting on Sunday, but they're searching for another church. And they were going to a Bible church, but they tried out Faith Baptist way out in Oconomowoc. And so pray that they'll come and check us out, and they might be one of those new families.
Okay.
They live off of Road X in 83.
All right. Okay, who is next? Stephen.
We're praising God for wonderful results from Kayla. I'm sure many of you heard, but the checkup last week, the doctor came back in the room and said that he couldn't be happier. So we praise God for the good results there with the stent down by her liver and just good health overall. And thank you all very much for your prayers. It was just so special to know at times like that that we have such a great praying church family. Mm-hmm. So thank you. And also praise the Lord for good meetings on Sunday up in near central Wisconsin at a couple different churches there. Real blessing to be there and just see the Lord working. And then also if you could pray for, I'm sure some of you drive through town once in a while on Wednesdays, and you maybe see people holding signs and obviously revealing evidence of a lot of confusion in their minds, according to God's thinking. And so today I had an opportunity to go give them all a gospel tract.
Amen.
So just pray that God will, some of them politely declined, and but just, you know, pray that they would read those. And I'm sure some of those people are probably really searching and hurting, you know, when they're all alone and not together like that. They really mm-hmm. have to feel very lost, I'm sure. So pray that they'll turn to the Lord.
If all this earth this earth is all you have, you can get pretty paranoid about some of the things that they say.
Yeah, I challenge them to think about what's going to happen once they leave the planet.
Amen.
All their signs say stuff about the planet, saving the planet.
Yeah. Are they ready for the climate change at the end of life? That's the one you got to be careful about, that climate change. Okay. Philip?
I'm not sure if I've mentioned this, but the Lord has allowed us to get back into Linden Grove Nursing Home and facilities here in Mequonago. And so we've had a number of services there. We do it the second and the fourth Wednesdays. But the Lord has given us a great group of people. There were 14 residents there today, and
Amen.
One of them was a wife that comes in with her husband. And many of them are very coherent. And so it's just a, you know, great opportunity to help those near the end of life and make sure that they are prepared for eternity. So it really is a great opportunity, and we always get to connect with staff members and nurses and other family members that are from this area. So just pray that mm-hmm. the Lord would bless both the nursing homes as
Amen.
We seek
we need,
to minister to those people.
Need God's blessing on the nursing home ministry, and that these people will understand the gospel and come to Christ and not be depending on just religion. Okay, Scott.
pardon me. If you would, please pray for my friend Steve. Steve is saved for many decades, but he was taken in hospital for emergency surgery 2 days ago, and he's on the ventilator right now.
Oh, wow.
In an ICU. So if you would pray for him and his wife, Pat. Steve, a pastor, I've known him for a very long time, since 1963. We met in kindergarten.
Mm.
And for you young people, yes, we did have kindergarten in 1963.
Yeah.
Please pray for Steve.
Yeah, okay. Craig.
Please pray for Amuja. He's a gentleman I met in Paris. He's Nigerian, but he was born in Paris and his family's from Nigeria, and he's a Muslim, but he's not a heavily practicing Muslim. And he went on to tell me that all those churches that we saw, these amazing churches all over Paris, are just empty. And people don't go. The Muslims don't go to church. The Jews don't go to church. And the Catholics don't go to church. He never even heard of a Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
But so I have all of his information. I had a chance to talk to him. He was amazing. He took us from the airport to our hotel and then came back two different times to take us other places where it was safe and just did it just to help us out. So he was fantastic. He's right on time. Gave us all kinds of advice. Spoke quite. He actually reads and writes excellent English. Doesn't speak it that great, but I really need to get him a track in French. But he just went on to tell me that it's very impolite in France to talk to anybody about religion and someone you don't know. And that he kind of told me that, even though I was talking to him one-on-one. But I said, we're not in public. We're in a private car. And so he kind of opened up a little bit. It's sad when you see those amazing churches. I can only imagine the maintenance costs of those buildings built, with 10 generations of workers, and then just see them all empty. It's really a testament of, I hate to say Catholicism, in that part of the world especially.
Yeah.
And it's just such a shame that all over France we saw churches like that all over where we visited, just huge. You could put 100 of our churches in them. That's how big they were. And empty, pretty much empty on Sunday.
Yeah, don't preach the Bible, don't believe the Bible, don't tell people how to get saved.
So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I guess it's good they are empty.
Yeah.
In one sense.
Amujan.
Yeah.
So,
thank you. Amen. Amuja. Okay. Oh, who's next? Micah.
Keep praying for Aiden's friends, Drew and Evan. pray that Evan be able to make it out to church sometime too. And pray as well for Christian from the Bible study. Doesn't seem like he's saved, so pray that we'd be able to continue to share the gospel with him.
Amen. Pray for these young people. Amen. Okay, who is next for a request? Okay, yes, Zach.
Just an update from the Bible study last night at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. Pastor, maybe you could give a few names if you wanted, or Mr. and Mrs. Narlock. But for the last several years, ever since COVID, we've kind of been hit hard. Two, three, maybe four students, and just kind of been hard to break out of a rut. And last year, we started to see signs of the Lord working and bringing some more students out, four, five, and this year, the Lord has really built it up from the beginning of the semester, from four or five, and then we had about seven come consistently, and then the last couple months, we've had about 10 come consistently, and last night, the Lord brought 18 students, the most we've ever had by far at that Bible study, and it was just amazing to see God really work last night, but not just last night, over the last several months, and really a testament to the power of prayer from God's people. And since I've started coming here, I've noticed more prayer for that ministry than ever before, and it makes sense. And so just a praise and a testimony, and there's some names if some others want to mention names, but we just have 2 weeks left, and so it'd be great to see the Lord just continue to build off this momentum and Lord continue to bless. So please keep ramping up those prayers, and just amazing to see those 18 students come last night and just see God get the glory. And so more of that could be said, but if you have some names, I'll leave it with you, Pastor. But just great to see.
So six students were there last night that aren't saved, and our Bible study was on being born again. And so they heard the message clearly over and over for the whole hour. And pray for those students. We have three students who came back for the third time yesterday, Mackenzie, Emily, and Gavin, and be praying for them that they would be saved and that God would really work in their hearts. There's three new girls. One of them was named Mars, and I got a Bible for the first time in her life a week ago or so. Told me she read 15 chapters in the Gospel of John this last week, but she's a part of, or has been a part of I don't know, Dungeons and Dragon demon group on campus, and so there's a lot of pressure the other way, but pray for Mars. God will give her desire to hear more and to be saved, okay? All right, other requests, anyone else? Okay, I'll be praying for those 46 souls to be saved this year. And praise the Lord, there are those who have been recently saved. Pray for their growth. And pray for those 50 new attendees. Be praying for the building fund, the offerings. And be praying for, we're praying for at least 12 new students for the school. 12 new students, specific prayer, praying for 12 students for the school. And so lots of things to pray about. Let's have the next hymn before the offering. Better hurry up, we're taking Philip's time here.
Turn with me to hymn 354. What a friend we have in Jesus. Abraham was called the friend of God. It's quite amazing that God would call us his friend and that we can have friendship with him. Let's go ahead and stand together as we sing that first stanza. We'll just sing the first stanza of hymn 354.
I think there's a new tract on the tract. It's called A Tribute to Mother. And Mother's Day is coming up, and this is a tract that you can pass out and give to young mothers. And it's really a challenge for mothers to raise their children for God, to teach them how to be saved. And it has a real challenge for mothers. The poem in there, How About You? What have you taught your children, mother? Will they be able to say this to you? When I arrive in that heavenly city where never comes sorrow or care, I'll say to my dear precious mother, it was you who invited me here. To Christ alone be the glory. He my sins in his body did bear, yet to heaven I might not have come had you not invited me here. Offering is for the building fund, and we need to be serious about giving for that. Jason, lead us in prayer.
Our Father, we're thankful, Lord, that we can meet in your house tonight, Lord. Lord, as we look in the last couple of days, Lord, and how the world just seeps in, Lord, pray that tonight, Lord, through this preaching of your word, that it would wash away the world, Lord, and fill us with your light. Lord, we see you moving and working in these schools, Lord, and pray that you would sup with us this evening, Lord, work in this church, work in this body. Lord, we do pray if there's anyone here tonight, Lord, that has not trusted you, that tonight would be a night for them to have that saving faith, Lord. We do pray for this offering, Lord, would it meet the needs of this church. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
and that special is a great blessing. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 9. And if somebody could just pull the battery out of the clock back there, we have plenty of time then. Acts chapter 9. You know, it'd be a very difficult thing to summarize the life of the Apostle Paul into just a short message here tonight. I mean, his life is just so packed with amazing truths and facets and details. And but tonight, I just simply want to summarize the life of the Apostle Paul and bring it down to three key truths that tonight I think will be a challenge and a help for us here tonight. And if you start to think about the Apostle Paul, and I was thinking of some of the key verses that he quoted about his life, finishing, I fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, and there's several others that are just tremendous verses that summarize his life in many ways. And there's just so much about his life. And tonight I've tried to condense really his life and his testimony down to three points that I want to highlight here tonight that I trust will be a blessing for us. But in Acts chapter 9, we're going to read the first five verses in just a moment, but the first point I want to highlight tonight about the life of the Apostle Paul is that he had a life transformed by the power of God. A life transformed by the power of God. Nothing in his life that we know of today would have come if it would not have first started with his life being transformed by the gospel. That miraculous transformation that God wrought in his life, and we'll read about that here in a moment, but it truly was a remarkable transformation that God did in just a short time. And if you think about who he was before he came to Christ, and we're going to see that here, to what God made him, to somebody that we remember and highlight here today, and much of the Word of God is written by him. It's just a remarkable transformation that we see, a life transformed by the power of God. Look at Acts chapter 9 in verse 1. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." So really this is Paul's conversion, where he comes to Christ, where he submits and surrenders his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and his life is forever changed. But we see just a little bit of a taste of what Paul's life was before he came to Christ. And if you look with me further in Acts chapter 9 and verse 13, obviously Paul for 3 days, he could not see. And he goes, and a man named Ananias is sent by God to bring a message to him. And in verse 13, the Lord spoke to Ananias. "Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name." You can see the Ananias, he's intimidated. He's saying, "Lord, I know about this man. I know who he is. Many people are talking about him. And you want me to go talk to him?" There's that hesitation there. And so Ananias, and obviously many in that area, are aware of Paul's life and what he had done to believers. In verse 26, it says, "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So verse 26, all the disciples there, they knew who Paul was, and they were fearful of him. And so we see this remarkable transformation that took place in the Apostle Paul's life. From destroying and persecuting the Christians to now being one himself and one that God mightily used. He has a new purpose now, a new goal with his life. This transformation that God wrought in his life now brought a new purpose and a new goal in his life. Do you remember when you got saved? Did things change? Did God give you a new purpose? New purpose, new value, new meaning in life, new goals in life? And, you know, the gospel had seized Paul's life. Paul was seized of the gospel, and the gospel seized him. And his life now was given to the gospel. Turn over to Romans chapter 1. I love this phrase here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 14. Now that Paul is saved, he sees himself differently. He says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. That idea of a debtor is one held by some obligation, bound by some duty. The gospel had seized Paul's life. His life now, he was held by an obligation. He was bound by the duty to give the gospel to others, to the Jews and to the Greeks. And so he saw himself as a debtor. I wonder tonight, has the reality of the gospel and salvation and what that really entails seized your life? Is it obvious to everybody around that your life is about the gospel? That the gospel has seized you? That you are a debtor to those around you? Has there been this transformation? Maybe there's somebody here tonight that's not saved, that's not experienced that transforming power of the gospel. And it truly is an amazing thing that God does in a person's life. But Paul's life, he was transformed by the power of God. And I think if you could summarize his life, that's the first thing there. His life was transformed. God worked a great miracle in his life. And such is the case with anybody who comes to Christ. God transforms them. He makes them into a new creature, a new person, a new purpose, a new goal in life. What a miserable life in comparison that he had before salvation. But the transformation Christ brought was truly remarkable. So Paul, his life was a life transformed by the power of God. But we also see, as we summarize his life, that Paul lived a life surrendered to God. A life surrendered to God. If you go back to Acts chapter 9, we didn't read verse 6, but look at verse 6 with me. Obviously, God, this great light shone around him, and Paul fell down to the earth. And verse 6, and he, Paul, or Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Paul's life was a life surrendered to God. I think that phrase is so embodies his life. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That is truly a words of surrender. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That word surrender really is a great word. It's the idea, Lord, this isn't my life. It's not about what I want to do. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what is the purpose for my life? What do you have for my life? We're not going to turn to many more passages, and you don't necessarily need to turn there. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I couldn't help but think of these words of the Apostle Paul. It says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Paul lived a life surrendered to God.
You know, does that characterize your life tonight here as a believer? A life surrendered to God. You have taken your hands off your life. You saying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What's your plan? What's your purpose for my life? And you know what? The life and journey of a Christian, there's many of those points where we have to say, where we need to surrender to God, where we have to say, okay, Lord, you can have this. This is not my life. And you've bought me, and I'm going to serve you with my life. Paul's life shows surrender. And if you analyze his life throughout his life, you see this spirit of surrender to God. His life was marked by that, of being submitted and yielded to God. We see how would you describe this with the Apostle Paul's life? Well, he was available. That reveals a surrender. He was available with his life. If God called him to do something, he was ready to do it. He was ready to go. And back in Romans chapter 1, we see the same concept here of surrender. In verse 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. So he saw himself as a debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians or foreigners, and to the wise and to the unwise. He was a debtor to them to give them the gospel. But he says, I am ready to preach the gospel. He was available. His life was ready. But he was obedient as well. And these three words, I think, characterize his life in this matter of surrender. He was available. He was ready. He was obedient. And I think that's a good test for our life. How do we know if we are surrendered to God? Tonight, how do you know that you're surrendered? Are you available for God? Are you ready? God tells you to do something. God shows you something or another step or a step of obedience. Are you willing to do it? Are you ready to follow? Are you obedient in your life? And, you know, all these show the Apostle Paul that his life was surrendered to God. Now, obviously many of you know we took a trip to Greece last month, and I don't want to spend much time on that, but I think it would help illustrate this point and kind of put a mental picture in your life. If you go back over to Acts chapter 16, and I'm just going to show a few pictures here in a moment, and I think it will help illustrate this life of surrender to the Apostle Paul. If you remember the Macedonian call in Acts chapter 16, in verse 6 and 7 and following, we see the Apostle Paul, God calling him, that Macedonian call, a vision of somebody from Macedonia or Greece, calling him to come over and to preach the gospel. And if you look at with me, I don't want to read the whole passage just for time's sake, but if you look at verse 9, it says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, what's that next word? Immediately, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. A life of surrender. And the first picture I have here is, you might remember, it shows that second missionary journey. But you see Paul traveling throughout Asia Minor, and then he crosses over into Greece. And just getting a mental picture there of this Macedonian call, of him crossing over, you can see Paul called to preach in Macedonia. And he crosses over immediately, it says, the next day, into Greece, into Macedonia, in answer to this call. And I just think Paul's life is such an example of a life surrendered to God. God called him, showed him what to do, and he went. And when he went there, the first place he landed, if you look at verse 11, and the next day it says they came to Neapolis. And so I just want to show really quick a picture of the very place where they believe the Apostle Paul stepped foot in Greece, which would be the first foot stepping into Europe. And it was just fascinating to stand there and think, here's a man who obeyed the call of God, who brought the gospel to this country that God had called him to. And it was really neat. I passed a track out to a man who was sitting on a bench right there. And it was just neat in my mind to think, here was the exact same place the Apostle Paul came with the gospel, and the gospel is still there today. And just briefly, the next one is a picture of us standing there, me and my wife. I don't want this necessarily to distract from the message here tonight, but I think it illustrates what Paul is doing in answering that call of God. And the next slide, this is a very neat picture here. It's an ancient Roman road called the Via Ignatia. And it goes from Neapolis, which is down there on the water. And if you look in the Word of God in verse 12, it says he came to Neapolis and from thence to Philippi. And it's very likely the Apostle Paul would have taken this very road from Neapolis to the nearby city of Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia. And of course, we recognize Philippi because that was where Paul, he preached the gospel, and obviously he was in prison, and he sang and praised God, and we see the Philippian jailer who is saved. And there's a picture here of the ancient ruins of Philippi. And it's just very neat to think about and to see those ruins. And Paul's alleged prison, it says that. The next picture there, it says Paul's prison. Most likely it wasn't, but that's where the title is there, so I had to take a picture of that. But we see here that great account in Acts chapter 16 of them being cast into prison. And at midnight, Paul and Silas singing praises to God. And the Philippian jailer, there's a great earthquake, and the Philippian jailer was about to kill himself. And in verse 30, it says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" But Paul's life was a life surrendered to God. I wonder tonight, do you live a life surrendered to God? Are you conscious of that? Is that your desire? Lord, I want my life to be, I'm surrendering my life to you. This isn't my life. That's, as believers, that's something that we need to live in light of each day. Our life being surrendered to God. Is that important and a priority in our life? So Paul's life was a life transformed by the power of God. And it was also a life surrendered to God. And again, I'm boiling Paul's life down into three simple truths here tonight, but I think they can stir our hearts here tonight. But thirdly, we see Paul's life was a life devoted to the spread of the gospel. That's what his life was about. His whole life was given to the gospel going forth. He says, "I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." He lived a life devoted to the spread of the gospel. And I'm just showing some of these pictures tonight because I just couldn't help but think of these as I've studied and traveled and seen these places and thinking of his life. But the next picture that I have here is in Philippi. It says that he went out in chapter 16, that he went to the river and met Lydia. And this is called the River of Lydia. And this is believed where it's believed that he reached Lydia with the gospel in Acts chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. And again, I'm showing these to illustrate how his life was about the spreading of the gospel. And all throughout Acts there, we see Paul, he preached and reasoned in the synagogues. And the next picture is ancient ruins of the city of Thessalonica. The modern city is built over it in many ways. But underneath you can see a lot of the ancient ruins of Thessalonica. And look with me at Acts chapter 17 and verse 6. We can't read the whole account here. I would love to. But notice the last phrase of that verse. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. A life devoted to the spread of the gospel. And that was the remark of the people in the city. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Wow, what a testimony of the Apostle Paul's life. As you continue through Acts chapter 17 and the second missionary journey, we see that Paul then makes his way to Athens. And I'm just going to show a picture. I think the next one there. Here's our group that was there, the Rosses. And, of course, Heather Swinson was there and Paul and Lisa. But behind is one of the most memorable Greek temples. Obviously, the Greeks had many gods in which they worshipped, and this is the Parthenon. But many of these, all over, are these temples in which they worship God, false gods. In Acts chapter 17, verse 16, it says, "And while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. He saw a great need of the gospel." He saw a great need for the gospel to go forth. And one last picture that I'm going to show. And later on here, we see the Paul's sermon on Mars Hill. And if you look at the bottom of the picture, this is looking from the Acropolis or the Parthenon where we just were. And you see that large rock formation that's called Mars Hill. And it's possible he preached on top of that or just at the base of that where the rulers would have been. And but his... In Acts chapter 17, verse 22 and following, we see probably, they estimate it was probably a 2 to 3 minute sermon that the Apostle Paul began to preach before he was silenced and shut down by the people. If you read his sermon, it's maybe only 2 or 3 minutes long. But again, illustrating the point, his life was devoted to the spread of the gospel. And we could look at a number of other places, but I just wanted to highlight some of those spots that illustrate this truth about his life. You know, if you think about the Apostle Paul's life and his desire for the spread of the gospel, he went from these cities, from city to city, preaching the gospel. And you know what? These cities got the gospel, which were much smaller in his day, but they got the gospel because someone was willing to take it. And you know what? I was reminded of this there in Athens. The need is even greater today. There's 4 to 5 million people in Athens, a huge city. And we couldn't find a Baptist church in that city. I'm sure there is gospel witness going forth, but it is not enough for that great city. And I also thought about the Apostle Paul's life and his ministry that, you know, half-hearted Christianity will never change the world for Christ. Half-hearted Christianity will never change the world. You'll never turn the world upside down just being a half-hearted Christian or a Sunday-only Christian. No, that's not how it works. Our lives, like Paul, need to be surrendered and devoted to the gospel going forth. Let me ask you tonight, what is the summary of your life so far? If you had to summarize your life, what would it be so far? You know, we all have opportunities still to change and to do more for God and to see our life accomplish great things for God. And praise God for the things He is doing in many lives here and in our church. But you know what? May we just be encouraged tonight and challenged through the Apostle Paul and his life to just be surrendered and devoted to God and to the cause of the gospel going forth. And I just challenge you with that thought. What's the summary of your life so far? What has your life amounted to so far for God? And is it what you want it to be? And by God's grace, we can excel and go forward and do great things for God with our lives. Okay, so I just wanted to summarize Paul's life in 3 brief points, but I trust there'll be a challenge to you and really help us to think as believers, you know, what are we doing with our life? And what are we seeking to accomplish for God? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul. We thank you for his life, which is a very, very vivid picture of one who is fully committed, fully surrendered to God. And Lord, may tonight we as Christians be encouraged in that way, to give our lives to God, to allow that our lives to be used of you, to take our hands off, Lord, so that you can do all that you want to with our lives. And so, Lord, use the truths that we've looked at here tonight to be a blessing and encouragement to our church and our people. In Jesus' name, amen.